And welcome, my friends, to the Pain-Free Tech Info Podcast. Home to the tech info you need, absolutely pain-free. I'm your host, Justice Payne. Today's date is July 8th, 2020, and today's topic is going to be revolving around smart cameras. So first off, a little bit of background behind the story of this idea that came to mind. My wife and I have a 3-year-old son at this point in time of recording. And when we first found out that we were expecting him, we were looking, like normal new parents do, at a bunch of different baby safety products. Anything from, you know, the stereotypical door handle safety knobs to different drawer security knobs. But one thing that kept coming to mind was, you know, living in the 21st century and being 90s babies, a lot has changed from when we were raised to raising kids now in the 21st century, especially with technology regarding the safety of a baby. So we saw all sorts of crazy things for when babies were sleeping, from moving monitors that were built into pajamas, all the way to crazy cribs that could lull and vibrate apparently in a way that would keep your kid asleep more. Fortunately for us, our kid was actually pretty well-mannered, didn't wake up too much in the middle of the night. But the one thing that we wanted to make sure, since he was a pretty quiet baby, is that we could hear him if something happened. So we knew we needed a baby monitor of some sort, whether that was a video one or the stereotypical audio one. Now, we did have an audio one regardless, especially around nap time. But since our rooms at the time in the apartment we were renting were on opposite ends of the apartment, we wanted something where we could see what was going on, because babies sometimes wake up in their sleep and they cry and they really don't need much of anything. They're just maybe crying from a bad dream. Or as they get older, maybe they're screaming and crying because they want to climb out of it, or maybe they've fallen. A million things race through a parent's mind whenever you hear a baby cry in the middle of the night. If you're a parent, you definitely know that feeling. Every parent's gone through it. Doesn't matter what generation you are. If a kid is screaming and crying in the middle of the night, you still have that urge. So fortunately, in the 21st century, we have a few different solutions for that. So starting off, we kind of looked into the video feature. We skipped past the audio because it really didn't give us enough. Both of us being really technology savvy and loving integrating tech into our life, we wanted to start somewhere that we knew we could kind of grow into. But the biggest issue that we kept running into with the video cameras that were made for baby monitors, they were running anywhere between $150 to $300, which I thought was pretty steep, especially considering the vast majority of them were boasting high resolution, being actually around 720p at the $300 range at the time, and the actual device themselves being made out of plastic often. And anything that you bought around even the $150 range came with its own tablet, not even an app, and use radio frequency to transmit the video from the camera to the tablet that kind of came with it. Now, if you've done any Google searches at all as an adult, or I mean, even do it now, if you do a Google search about radio frequency based baby monitors, you will find a bunch of stories out there, a bunch of horror stories of people having either cameras or baby monitor audio speakers being hacked. Now, this is because radio frequency waves, there's nothing proprietary to them or really anything securing them. The basis of a radio frequency baby monitor is that it uses radio waves, which we all have radios or have used radios. I'd hope at this point in our lives, we all know what that is. If you're from the younger generation where all you ever had was iTunes or Spotify, ask your parents or ask a friend that's a little bit older than you. But radio frequency waves are a way to transmit stuff pretty easily. And if you've ever been around long enough near the Best Buys or the Radio Shacks back in the day, you even were able to buy a small little tuning device where you could use your cell phone to project radio frequencies that a little device in your car could pick up. Now, rolling this back into the baby monitoring issues, not to get too far off tangent here, but the reason baby monitors that work with radio frequencies to transmit the data, either video or audio, are so easy to hack is because really it just takes a smart person with a device that isn't all too expensive or uncommon to have to be able to hack into that radio frequency waves just by trying a bunch of channels out. Now, this is really as creepy as it sounds. It could be someone pulling up in one of those sketchy white vans with a bunch of monitors and a device that can flip through radio channels until it finds good sources as it seeks. And then there you go. Now, most of the time, it can be for many reasons that people would do this. I'm not going to deep dive. Like, the point of this podcast is not to deep dive into the mind of a criminal. But you can get why that is creepy, that someone could easily, just by pressing a seek button, a go button, so to speak, can have that ability to get into your camera or your baby monitor. So the cheaper end of the spectrum, the $150 to even around $200 range of baby cameras. Now, I was doing a little bit of Googling. A lot of those devices are now coming down in price around the $100 to $200. As more people are entering that market of video monitoring being the thing for parents, in my generation specifically, like I said, I'm in the 25-year-old demographic right now, but I mean, I was born in the 90s, like I said. As more of us start to raise kids, more of us are trying to look at the techie stuff of raising kids. And so as there's more competition entering the marketplace, just with anything, the price is slowly going down and the value is going up per dollar. However, there's still like a standard camera to give you, you know, HD quality video around 1080p or so, we'll say, with just motion sensing in it on a baby camera, you're talking close to $300 for something that's app enabled. Now, taking it a step back, even looking nowadays, I still would make the same decision, which is why I tell this to so many of my friends that are now looking at having kids now, family members that are have friends or family that are having kids now for the first time. I still would make the same decision today as I did back, like I said, my son's 3, almost 4 now, so 4 years ago when I was first looking into these. You can, for between $100 to $200, buy a Wi-Fi security camera. Now, particularly, I'm sure if you haven't seen some already, you can get one from Amazon through their Ring security system. Google, for a long time, had their own line, but they bought a company called Nest a while back, and that's actually the one that I use. We'll go into some reasons why I chose Nest over any other ones. And really, at the end of the day, an Amazon cam, I might not have any issues with. Or any of the other brands. Like, I know Netgear makes Arlo. I believe they're still the maker of that. Logitech makes some now. Really, any of the big name brands all kind of have a lot of the same features. It comes down to sale prices. And really, at the end of the day, now there's so much competition in the market with all these big companies. That's how I would tell you to kind of shop. Look at the big names in the business, specifically Amazon, Google. They got the money to back their product, and they have their reputations riding on the security of their product. And we'll get a little bit further into details as to why the reputation matters, all things considered, because of what the devices are intended for. But backtracking here, we decided to go with a Wi-Fi security camera. Like I said, it's a Google Nest camera. We specifically chose the indoor Nest cam. And the big reason why we did that was really honestly the features that you were getting for the price. Now, back in the day, I want to say I got it on a Black Friday sale at the time. It's I can't guarantee you ever getting this price again, but it was around $150, I believe. We got a little bit extra protection insurance on it. We just always do with our devices. We'll cover that in another podcast, I'm sure, as to, you know, the benefits of getting some of those extended coverage on certain products and why we've done it in our family. But in this, in essence, about $150 for the device, if that's all you were going to pay into it, is what I paid. Now, retail, the MSRP on that is $199.99 is what you can get it today. Now, I wouldn't rush. My son, it really, the camera came in handy closer to once he started transitioning from his small little cradle to a crib. And then even further past that now, his toddler bed and his toddler room. But just bear in mind, that's roughly the price range that I would look. Honestly, from a basic search that I did, you can even get these now around $160, $170 from what I've been tracking on sales over the last couple of weeks. Specifically, at the time of recording this, 4th of July, 2020 was just not even about a week ago. And there were sales going on them at that point in time. And if you buy more of them too, so say you're going to have multiple kids or, you know, you want them to be used as a security device too and a baby monitor, you can get them even cheaper at that. But enough about price. Like I said, around $200. So you're kind of in that middle spectrum of, you know, the crappy baby monitors that are made of plastic and come with their own generic tablet that use radio frequencies around the $100, $150 range. And well below the $300 range to get something pretty comparable to this as the marketed baby monitor camera. Now, some of the features behind the indoor Nest Cam that I'd like to point out, you get the full HD, so that'd be 1080p video feed on it. You have 8x digital zoom, which is actually pretty handy as a security camera, but also as a baby monitor. When the baby is moving and it detects motion, or motion in the room, it's really nice to be able to, you know, take your screen and zoom in to see, you know, what's the kiddo doing. It's got 130-degree field of view, so if you place in the right spot, there's zero chance of you missing anything in the room. It's got amazing night vision with 8 infrared sensors on it. One of the cool things, too, is if you do eventually transition it to a security device, you can even pair it with other smart devices within the Google Home networks, something like the Philips Hue bulbs. I've seen YouTubers do this before where they actually hook up the cameras themselves. So when motion's detected, it actually turns on their Philips Hue bulbs that turns the lights on throughout their house. And the intent is to scare away a robber. But that is something that's pretty cool as a security device. Not too particularly helpful, I think, for using it as a baby monitor. But remember, you're investing in this for multi-use. And that's really kind of the point behind why we chose this. Another great thing is, as a baby monitor, one thing that you can do for the motion detection, you can get alerts to your phone, which is awesome, just like a baby monitor would. But you can even set the zone that it's going to alert you for. So, for instance, I set 2 zones in my son's room when he was first a baby. One was on the crib itself where he was sleeping. So I wanted to know if he's moving or, you know, trying to peek over and crawl out. And then another one that I set was the window that was in his room because I wanted to know, is someone breaking into my kid's room? The cool thing is, you know, we never had to experience that. That's cool thing number one. Cool thing number two is that it will actually send alerts through your app saying which zone is being detected. And so for me, I was never like, oh God, there's motion in the room. It was more of, oh no. I know it's just my kid rolling around. Let me check back. And the cool thing about this is, and probably one of the most important features for any parent that really wants to see how their kid is behaving in the middle of the night, especially if you missed any of the alerts, you have the video history from about, I want to say around 24 hours is kept on these devices. Now you can pay an additional fee to get recorded history, which is more helpful from the security perspective, but just know that is an offering that Google does have. It's all hosted in their cloud, all secure. Now, kind of getting into the security factor of this to not get too long-winded on the cool features. So the reason a device like this is beneficial over one of the cheap radio frequency ones. So Google or Amazon or really any of these manufacturers, they're usually big manufacturers that are developing these devices to be used as security devices. Now, why that's important? A camera getting hacked that's a baby monitor is a scary story in and of itself. But really, the only demographic that affects for like buy-ins for like potential consumers for that product is parents, and parents just won't buy it. Now, if Google were to have a hack, that would be covered on the mainstream media everywhere, especially if it was in a security brand where people who use these devices around their homes to keep their house secure, if something were to be hacked there, Google would have an even bigger damage to their reputation, or Amazon, or really any other big manufacturer. So from a parental standpoint, picking a company like Google or Amazon, one of these bigger named Wi-Fi camera manufacturers, you kind of have a little bit of more of a backing because you know Google or Amazon are going to be trying to protect their security consumers and their consumers as a whole from being scared from buying their devices by investing a lot into the security of these devices and making sure they really work. The other side, too, is usually like my Nest Cam is made of hard metal material, very durable, has mounting options for the walls, the camera's super flexible to get the right angle, and that really comes behind the whole security consumer spectrum where not every person has the perfect shelf that points at their entrances that they want to put a camera on. So as a parent, you know, the crib is a great place. Like at one point in time, I had it mounted to a wall, the camera itself, so that it looks straight down in the crib. There, as my son grew older, we now had it in his playroom so that while my wife was cooking, she could whip it open the camera app on her tablet and be able to watch, make sure my kid isn't getting into anything he shouldn't be, isn't coloring on the walls, etc. And I mean, the position changed. We moved it to the top shelf of a bookshelf we installed in his room. So really, it's the positioning can kind of change. Whereas the baby monitors, a lot of them have the ability to kind of flip up and down, so they adjust horizontally. The Google camera can really be positioned in any way, shape, or form. It's about, I'd say the tilt radius on it is about 45 degrees either way. It goes straight flat against the wall one way to another, so there is a full 180 degree horizontal tilt as well. But really, it comes down to even the camera itself within the mount can spin. And then you can tighten the screws back. So really, it's got the flexibility to see any angle that you'd want. Now, on the flip side, like I said, I already touched on it briefly there. As a parent, it's great to have it be able to point in any direction. Like I said, have that flexibility, you know, the peace of mind knowing that it's a secure device. You don't have to worry about it being as prevalent to hackers. Not to say that it's 100% foolproof. As many people could probably research, any device is susceptible to having issues, but it's far less likely than something based off radio frequencies, which is the point here. You also are getting that multi-use piece, and I honestly think that's the biggest point I'd like to hit on this, is as far as the device goes, it's 100% manufactured for the consumer that's worried about securing their home. And so the indoor camera, It also has that multi-use. You can use it as a baby monitor in the beginning. It integrates currently, if you already have a security system from Google or Nest or any of these other companies, it integrates already into the system. You don't have to get a new app on your phone worried about that, or a new service as well for the video recording. It's all in one place. And as your kid grows up, you have the ability to not have this cheesy plastic camera that you're using. You now can have this nice security device you can put in as a toddler monitor to make sure your kid's playroom, that you can watch them like I've already mentioned. As they grow even older and don't need that anymore, you can use it as a security monitor as it's intended. And usually these devices, like mine is about 4.5 years old or so, 4 years old of a model, it's still going fine, still receives software updates, still gets firmware updates. It's perfectly fine. So it's kind of like a foolproof investment that long-term investing in something that is supposed to be for one thing, it has multi-uses. And it's really kind of the introduction I'd like to go into for this episode. As I kind of look at you know, the future ones I had planned, this is kind of what spurred my idea. And this was kind of my aha moment as to, you know, you could use pieces of technologies in ways that they're not intended for, but have massive benefits for you. So I encourage you, share this episode with any of the young parents that you're looking into. Obviously, my best piece of advice for any consumer, do your own research, as I'm just one person that's trying to give you an insight into that next piece of technology you might be able to integrate into your life. Like I said, this is just a Nest security camera that I used as a baby monitor. Now, I have also had family members take my idea and use it as a monitor for their pets, which if you have dogs, cats, I mean, I'll admit I'm a fish guy myself. I've used it on a fish tank too while I was gone to make sure that it didn't break or leak while I was gone. You can use this in any way, shape, or form as even a pet monitor as well. But there's multiple uses that these devices have that can really benefit your life. So I'd highly encourage people to really kind of sit back and look into something like this if you're in any of those situations. Now, to go further, if any of you ever have a question as to a device that I might think you might have a benefit to, feel free, of course, to reach out. My website is officially published and posted. That is kind of the official sponsor of this first episode. If there is any sponsors out there that would like to sponsor the podcast, feel free to reach out to me at contact@painfreeinfo.com. But if you go out to painfreeinfo.com on any of your mobile browsers, it's supported on mobile, tablet, or computers. I made sure it's flexible across them all. You'll find even more information out there, guides, tips, tricks, all that. I am my own sponsor at this point in time, as well as any of you guys being Patreons or Patreon sponsors through their patron program. You guys are also my sponsors at this point in time. In the future, as I've said in my intro episode zero, in the future, we might have some other people come on and sponsor the show, and I would absolutely welcome that. But really, you guys just listening to this podcast, sending me feedback, like I said, feel free to reach out to my email if you got feedback or questions or suggestions on episodes you'd like to hear. You guys are kind of what fuels this whole thing and will help it grow. So feel free to share this with any of your family or friends that might take benefit to this episode. I will continue to be posting. I know there was a long break between my intro episode and this episode, but I really wanted to make sure that this was set up right for you guys, that I had a good website and resource and contact information, and all that nine yards, so that we could do this right from the get-go. So going forward, like I said, this kind of wraps up the camera episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If you have any questions, reach out. Definitely visit my new website page if you want to become a patron. Feel free to listen to the outro for more information on how to learn to do that. And I'll thank you all for listening, and I'll talk to you all later. Thank you again for listening, wherever and whenever you are. It is my hope that the information we discussed was beneficial to you. If you liked what you heard, please consider becoming my patron on Patreon so that I can bring more content to you and others like you. For details on how to become my patron, and for more information, please visit me at www.painfreeinfo.com. I'll talk to you on the next episode.